Hello and welcome to Quilt Achieviate's Market Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we've been exploring for you here at Quilt Achieviate. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you are listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host for this week, Fraser Wilkinson, investment manager based out of our Leeds office. Well, the first week of the tax year was quite a wild week on the markets. The US stock market pulled some of its recent falls back and ended up around 9% last week. Government bonds fell in price, pushing the US 10-year Treasury yield up from below 4% to nearly 4.5%. Gold rose 7% in US dollar terms, and in the currency markets, sterling rose around 2% versus the US dollar. Trump set out his tariff policy the week before, 10% baseline tariffs, probably to raise revenue, country-specific reciprocal tariffs based on other countries cheating on global trade. Finally, sector-specific tariffs to come on pharmaceuticals to go on top of the commodity tariffs already announced. During the week, the reciprocal tariffs were paused for 90 days, but the China tariffs were dramatically increased. And then even over this weekend, an exemption seems to have been given for certain high-tech products, probably to help companies like Apple's. Most of its components are made in China. The recent falls in the stock market seems to have not worried Trump too much, but the rise in the US Treasury yield is the thing that seems to spur most of these pauses and exemptions. Seems the cost for America to borrow is Trump's weak spot, probably as the US annual additional borrowing is running at $2 trillion a year. And on top of that, $9 trillion of older US government debt needs to be rolled over or remortgaged in 2025. So government bond interest rates matter. Logically, as the largest consumer market in the world, you'd think that America is in a strong position in any long-term trade war, as other countries need to sell to the US or else their income and jobs will plummet. But right now, we are seeing relative turmoil in the US and US asset prices. Now, we've all heard the news telling us tariffs are punitive to America's allies and enemies alike, that it will cause a US recession, inflation to rise, dollar to fall, interest rates to rise, and is causing global stock market volatility. But all of these things happening at the same time is highly unusual compared to history, as one negative usually causes a positive elsewhere. A lot of our clients are asking questions about this confusing situation. So to make sense of it all, we have our macro and fixed interest resident expert, Richard Carter, to answer some of the questions we have all been asked about the current confusing world of tariffs. So Richard, if Americans pay the tariffs as a tax to the US government, why are their trading partners so upset?
Well, I guess the problem for these countries is that if they've got an economic model that's very reliant on exports to the US, these tariff changes are going to basically weaken demand for their goods or the goods that they make, which means that there's going to be less output, less growth and less employment. And it's very hard for them to sort of change their economic model overnight. You know, take a country like Vietnam, for example, making sort of cheap manufactured goods to send to the US. If you've got massive tariffs on those exports, then really they've got a big economic shock coming. Tariffs possibly are fine, but the way the Trump White House is going about it, with not just the size of the tariffs, but the unpredictability of it all, really does make it very difficult for these exporting countries.
Yes, and another question I've been asked is if tariffs don't work, why does the EU use them, for example? And why are entire US industries banned from China, etc.?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, tariffs can work to some extent to protect domestic industries. Certainly, that's why the EU uses them. The Chinese are also, let's be honest, the US has a case around some of the trade practices of the Chinese and others. You know, it's not necessarily a level playing field. But the problem for the whole market is the way that the US policy has been on tariffs has been kind of suddenly changed overnight, no predictability, and a ginormous increase in tariffs, and then obviously a sudden sort of reversal and a 90-day pause. So I think, tariffs are part of the world trading system. There could be lots of things that could be improved in terms of making everything more of a level playing field. But the way Trump and the administration have gone about it has not exactly been optimal.
I think that's putting it a bit mildly, Richard. Yeah, yeah. It's a quite a brash way of running a global economic policy. And getting a bit deeper into the economics of it all, another question is if we are facing a recession in the US, why are fixed interest assets falling and therefore pushing up the yield or interest rate that governments and companies pay? Aren't interest rate cuts more likely in a US recession?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And actually, the initial response to the whole sort of tariff thing was for equities to struggle and for bonds to do quite well. And that's kind of what you would normally expect, because, as you say, it's weaker growth and it's sort of risk off. Unfortunately, what Trump's uncertain policies have basically given rise to is the whole sort of questioning over the US. Is it really a predictable actor? Are treasury markets a safe haven? You mentioned earlier that they've got huge amounts of borrowing to do. That's absolutely correct. And there's also the impact of sort of tariffs on potentially rising inflation, not just weaker growth. So yes, we are potentially likely to see interest rate cuts come from the Fed as the year goes on. But the inflationary impact is a concern for them and might mean they have to proceed pretty slowly. But I think there's just been a real questioning of the status of the US as a sort of bedrock of global markets, particularly in bonds. There's also been, I think, sort of unwinds going on in the hedge fund space, which has led to some pretty outsized moves in treasury markets. Which will hopefully settle down, but it's not great that when equity markets have been struggling, you're also seeing treasuries struggle as well.
And yes, and I guess that uncertainty having quite a strong effect on the dollar as well. I guess the million-dollar question is will anyone step into the rescue? And perhaps will Jay Powell at the Fed, would he step in? And if he did, what would that do to prices?
Well, it depends how they did it. And I don't think they're going to want to get drawn into some sort of political move. I mean, I think the mini budget with Liz Truss sort of interesting sort of case in point. It was only really when the gilt market showed real signs of just sort of breaking down with the whole LDI thing, that the Bank of England decided this is going to really hurt the economy. We've got to step in. I don't think the Fed... the Fed will be reluctant to get involved in sort of, in a way, bailing out the mistakes of the US government. But I'm sure if they feel that the moves are too much and would really threaten a sort of financial, not financial crash, but a real financial problem in the States, they could get involved and that might happen. And that may well happen. But I don't think it's something they're going to rush to do. I mean, clearly, treasury markets would get some relief from it if they did. But I think actually, although markets are still volatile, the fact that Trump rode back on the tariffs and gave this 90-day pause after the sell-off in bond markets does make you think that, they are aware that they cannot really take all this borrowing for granted. And maybe that rules out the sort of worst case scenario as far as bonds are concerned.
Yes, well, we do seem to be in the eye of the storm at the moment. But I wonder what we're all long-term investors. So what is the long-term picture looking beyond the current uncertainty? If we do end up with lower purchases of foreign goods and a greater tax take in the US at the expense of global exporters, does that mean we're facing a global recession?
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully it won't be as bad as a sort of global recession. I mean, clearly there's a risk of a big slowdown in the US. You're already seeing consumer sentiment in the States take a tumble. We haven't really seen it in the hard data. I mean, markets will be watching jobs numbers and things like that pretty closely to see what happens. But, clearly if there's weaker growth in the US, weaker growth elsewhere, and just a general environment of major uncertainty and unpredictability, that's not going to be good. I guess on the flip side, you could say that companies, if they in time will adjust, you should also see central banks, including potentially the ECB this week, cut rates further. And you may see, particularly in places like China and Europe, some sort of increased government stimulus to offset the impact of the tariffs. So I don't think it's all, complete doom and gloom. But I think, as far as looking for some relief for markets is concerned, you really would like to see some de-escalation, particularly between the US and China on the whole trade situation.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you, Richard, for those great insights and to all of you for listening. No doubt the news and economic moves will continue to vary dramatically over the coming weeks. So please head over to our website for our latest market news, comments, weekly newsletters, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars. There really is a lot of updated material there, and that should be the first port of call. Next week's podcast will no doubt be another action-packed episode. So to make sure you don't miss out, please tap the subscribe button. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on our social media pages. And we do love to hear from our listeners, so please review the show now, wherever you're listening, and share it on your socials and tag us at Quilt Achieve It. And finally, do you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts for our next podcast? Simply ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. We love to hear your questions. And that's it for today. So thank you, Richard, for your time today and all of you for listening. And we do hope you have a happy Easter and the Easter bunny brings lots of chocolate eggs.